about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good morning, everyone. You are currently tuned into Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Haukamalan and Squamish-speaking peoples. I hope everyone is having a great start to their days. It's nice to see that the sun is back out after a cloudy and slightly rainy past 2 days. I am Rebecca. I am going to be your host up until 11 a.m. when Democracy Now! Will take over. And we got an interesting topic today. I have an interview that I did with the SVSPO here at SFU, which is the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, regarding intimate partner violence and their upcoming tabling event for the Red Dress Memorial Day for murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls and Two-Spirit people. So we'll be playing that. I have also a couple of songs that were suggested to me by my guest who I interviewed, who is Paola. She is one of the educators with the SVSPO, and she coordinates and facilitates education and outreach initiatives for SFU and FIC undergrad and grad students. Paola's work is very informed by their personal experience. Paola is an immigrant. They are a queer individual and survivor, and they're very grounded in a decolonial, anti-racist, and intersectional feminist framework. So we had a very great discussion that I'm excited for you all to hear. Part of the reason this topic was picked by me was because I was reading a lot of headlines from last year across Canada in regard to intimate partner violence rising. And there's also an increase in violence rising against women and girls generally across the world. As a lot of you know, I'm from England, back in the UK. And I spoke on my show Sociologic last night at 7 p.m. about this as well, in regard to the manosphere and youth knife crime increasing, particularly young boys against young girls. So I thought it was very relevant, especially with their National Awareness Day and Red Memorial Dress Day coming up on May 5th, so next week. And just a couple of facts of why I thought this was a very prevalent issue to speak about today. 44% of women and girls in Canada have experienced intimate partner violence at some point in their life. That is a very shockingly high statistic. And a little timeline of what recent headlines across Canada that has made this, I think, a call for attention and awareness and needs to be discussed a lot more, is that starting from September last year in 2024, you had Nova Scotia declaring intimate partner violence as an epidemic. January of this year, the BC Premier David Eby recognized gender-based violence as an epidemic in his mandate letter. February this year, you saw Haliburton County in Ontario joining 95 other municipalities declaring intimate partner violence an epidemic. And if you are a woman living in Northern Ontario, you are 75% more likely to experience domestic abuse. And then March, so literally last month, 2025, there was an article about how Alberta is seeing a stark rise in intimate partner violence rates. And in 2023, they saw a 10-year high in calls for help, a 19% increase in shelter use. And from 2018 to 2023, they saw overall rates of family violence and intimate partner violence rising alongside an increase in police-reported violent crime. So it is very clear that from the past couple of years, it has become a very prevalent issue that is rising. We have spoken a lot about gender-based violence on Intravenous back when it was the National Day for Elimination of Gender-Based Violence and the 16 Days of Activism in December. So I strongly suggest listening back to those episodes on the Intravenous playlist on our website, cjsf.ca. And to place a trigger warning in there for any listeners that this might cause harm to their well-being, their soul. They might get distressed hearing about these topics. There will be a lot of topics about, a lot of discussion about intimate partner violence, gender-based violence, sexual violence. That is predominantly the topic today. That is the interview. So please, if that is going to be distressing to you, tune out, and you can tune back in at 11 a.m. for Democracy Now! And next week, tune back into Intravenous. It will be a different topic at 10 a.m. Or you can go on and click on a previous Intravenous episode if you really want to be hearing some Intravenous this morning. I'm excited for you all to hear this interview that I did with Paola. She suggested some songs for me to play, which was very lovely of them. So I will start off by playing two of their songs before I get into the interview. They're both by a local Indigenous artist called JB the First Lady. We'll start off with the song Remember Her, and then after that, the song Still Here.
Remember her spirit, remember her smile, remember her eyes, remember her style. Remember her face, remember her laughter, remember her now, remember her after. I'm looking for you, we searching for you, we praying for you, we looking for you, we searching for you, we praying for you to bring you home. Remember, you're not alone. I sent you a text, you didn't reply. I felt like a mess, I cannot lie. Called you 100 times just to see if you're alive. Went to voicemail every single time. All I could do was cry. Just wanted to be by your side. Went into panic mode, calling and calling around. You're still nowhere to be found. Remember her spirit, remember her smile, remember her eyes, remember her style. Remember her face, remember her laughter, remember her now, remember her after. I'm looking for you, we searching for you, we praying for you, we looking for you, we searching for you, we praying for you to bring you home. Remember, you're not alone. It's been 3 days, missing person case, made a poster with a pretty face. We went searching for you, asked around for clues. Posters on posters, felt closer and closer, getting to you. My heart races, don't know what to do. My heart races, I don't know what to do. We're looking for you. Remember her spirit, remember her smile, remember her eyes, remember her style. Remember her face, remember her laughter, remember her now, remember her after. I'm looking for you, we searching for you, we praying for you, we looking for you, we searching for you, we praying for you to bring you home. Remember, you're not alone. Trying to get the news to see that she matters, her whole family hearts are shattered. Police barely investigate or calculate, community and family left to navigate, search party alone. Looking up every road, Indigenous people seek justice. Justice for our mothers and our fathers. Justice for our sons and our daughters. Justice for our trans into spirit. Justice for all our relations. All my relations. When I say no more, you say stolen sisters, no more.
Stolen sisters.
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 Remember her spirit. Remember her smile. Remember her eyes. Remember her style. Remember her face, remember her laughter. Remember her now, remember her after. I'm looking for you, we searching for you, we praying for you, we looking for you, we searching for you, we praying for you to bring you home. Remember, you're not alone. Stolen locations, abusive relations, 150 celebrations, comment section hating, debating, truth and reconciliation fading, dividing and shading, but we still here, we still here, we still here. Missing brother, missing mother, missing goddess, say it again, no clean water, but we still here, we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we're still here, we're still here. The father in sight, women warrior fight. I wanna break the cycle in the circle, non-verbal, nocturnal, no dress rehearsal. A head by a century, awaken the spirit, be fearless and clear it, no limit. I spit it, I risk it, I hit it, it's written, never bitten, archived for my descendants. Important to make a presence, representations at all levels. We are all rebels sent from the heavens at 11:11. So meet me at 7:11 to dismantle depression, to gather, to master and shatter the system. I know what's missing. I see the gaps. I have the maps to take it back. Come on. Stolen locations, abusive relations, 150 celebrations, comment section hating, debating, truth and reconciliation fading, dividing and shading, but we still here, we still here, we still here. Missing brother, missing mother, missing goddess, say it again, no clean water, but we still here, we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we're still here, we're still here. And rage and resistance, take back the land, is the business. Step up and witness, speak up, go the distance. The time is now, show them how. They didn't want us to powwow, so we made a powwow. Now allow your powwow. Full push-ups to dance your style. I'm hella versatile, my indigenous girl lifestyle. You check my Insta profile, too quick to reconcile without the truth or impact the youth. You tell the lies of the voting booth, we'll make it smooth. Elders and POCs do all the work, make moves. Culture vultures waiting to play and take away what is sacred. Internalized self-hatred, culture lost. Nothing to show, they try to be a bro. Be careful and let them know we are here and we're in control. Stolen locations, abusive relations, 150 celebrations, comment section hating, debating, truth and reconciliation fading, dividing and shading, but we still here, we still here, we still here. Missing brother, missing mother, missing goddess, say it again, no clean water, but we still here. We're still here. The message is clear. They wanted us to disappear, but we're still here. The message is clear. They wanted us to disappear, but we're still here. We're still here. They call me on my cellie to hear my words and my verbs, my words into action. I'm the girl that makes it happen, shutting down the streets. I complete, I defeat with just one tweet. No need for press release. I never couple these middle fingers up, but I call for peace. Water is sacred, yeah, I'm jaded. Wine needles hitted, still native kids be taken. Still treaties are forsaken, still stupid, not educated. This is stolen land, the time is now. We demand, your occupation is out of hand. United we stand, kill the mask, I save the people. Kill the ego, no sequel, no one is illegal. Power to the people, together we are better. Talk a circle, pass a feather. Talk a circle, pass a feather. Stolen locations, abusive relations, 150 celebrations, comment section hating, debating, truth and reconciliation fading, dividing and shading, but we still here, we still here, we still here. Missing brother, missing mother, missing goddess, say it again, no clean water, but we still here, we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear, but we still here, we still here. But we still here. They try to ban our pot ledges, but we still here.
smallpox and trail the tears, but we still here. We still here.
And that was the song Still Here by the local Indigenous artist JB the First Lady. And before that, we heard the song Remember Her by JB and the First Lady. Some really hard-hitting lyrics in there, and a great songs, I think, both lyrically and the beat. So now I'm going to play for you all the interview I did with Paola, and I hope you guys all enjoy and reflect on what Paola speaks about. So to start us off, would you like to just introduce yourself, a bit about who you are and the work that you're doing here at SFU?
Hi, so my name is Paola Quiroz Cruz, and I am one of the educators at the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office here at SFU. I have been working with the office in the last 5 years, and some of the things that I do here at the office is to support a majority of the educational components for undergrad and grad students that are in connection with sexual violence prevention, healthy relationships, consent, responding to disclosures, and so on, and also supporting and leading many of the campaigns that we run through the year, educational campaigns like Consent Matters, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, the Bystander Intervention Campaign, It Takes All of Us, and some of the memorials that we host and held here on campus.
Okay, amazing. So, as I'm sure you've probably heard, as it seems to be a big focus of your career, there's been a rise in intimate partner violence in Canada. And one thing that I've noticed is increasingly from last year and this year, it being called and classed as an epidemic in different provinces. What social and economic or cultural factors do you think are contributing to such a rise that is being seen?
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to mention, thank you for mentioning this. I think that this is one of the three big influence for this, but I wanted also to acknowledge that there are many issues that are interwoven in partner violence that I have seen in connection with sometimes why maybe students or staff come to seek for support. And we have to continue mention that historical violence is there, multi-generational violence, and then intergenerational violence, right? So, and then sometimes those two are connected with the identification of experience, right? Like if I see that happened at home and that's a normalization, that's what I feel familiar, then maybe I somehow will continue living this experience. So then we tend to identify the struggles that our families live like as part of our identity, right? Until we do kind of like some healing work and go deep in and understand this, not saying that it's on us, but then that is one of the factors. So, and then also lateral violence, right? So there are lots of violence that happens within marginalized and oppressed communities as well. Not saying that is the only violence that happens, because everybody at the end is affected by intimate partner violence. And when we talk about social, economic, or cultural factors, I feel that the rising of IPV is driven by factors like economic stress. We live a pandemic. It creates a lot of impacts on people, on families, economic impacts. Impacts on the body as well. Many people ended up being disabled. There is a higher unemployment, rates because of all what is happening economically, globally. So, and then also, I would say social norms that continue tolerating violence and power imbalances in relationships. So then it's so ingrained. There are so many cultural beliefs that really reinforce those gender roles. Continue discouraging people to seeking for support. And I also feel that the race on communication, right, more things are out there on social media, on blogs, and so things are in some way more public, but that doesn't mean that there is a race. I mean, there is a significant race, but I just don't want it to correlate those two, because sometimes we tend to say, oh, now there is more intimate partner violence or more sexualized violence. I think that now there is more information out there. More people have the opportunity to share what is going on. So then something that was a little bit hidden before, we didn't have much access to those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And alongside that of it becoming a bit more public and a bit more visible, there is obviously a lot of stigma still around intimate partner violence, domestic abuse, gender-based violence, that whole section. How do you think that this stigma is continuing to affect those that are experiencing the abuse, especially those that are coming from these more marginalized communities?
Yeah, so I think that the stigma of... it's shameful to share that you are in a relationship that is not healthy, that is not balanced. We have learned to believe that what happens inside our doors is an intimate business that shouldn't affect the rest of the community. So people don't want it to lose face. Sometimes if you are in a partnership with someone from your community and maybe that person is well known to the community of something, you don't want it to impact that person. So then truly silence, that's continue creating that stigma, making people fear a judgment, that they are not going to be believed, maybe some sort of retaliation. How come you talk like that about my sister, my brother, my sibling, right? So, and also, when we think about marginalized communities, I think of factors like racism. That's huge. Poverty, immigration status, and other barriers, right? Like language, like not being able to, speak English or access to other society spaces because of many of these barriers, could create, extend the stigma, right? And then that also, maybe some people also have observed, oh, my friend spoke and then she ended up or they ended up being isolated, so I better not say anything because I don't want it to lose my other community. I don't want it to lose my friends. Because the stigma also is like, if you speak up, you are going to end up alone.
Yeah. And I think that's a common thread that is seen when you speak to some victims and survivors and they say that they took so long to say anything because they keep seeing about how much shame is put on women and people that have suffered from it when they do come out and speak about it. So along as well as that, why do you think so many victims will hesitate to report the abuse aside from the stigma and the shame that they will probably end up feeling?
Yeah, as I mentioned at the very beginning, having in mind all those systemic factors and those historical factors is important always to keep it with us. But, when I think of individuals, every case is different. And I don't want it to generalize, but you see a trend of like the fear of retaliation, as I mentioned before, not being believed that this is happening or minimizing the experience that, oh, maybe that is not that bad. Maybe who knows what did you say before that this person took it on you, losing housing. I mean, we have a big housing crisis in this city, so it's not easy just to make those decisions like that on the spot. And I feel immigration status these days, I will say that is also another factor. And also, if you are dependent on just one person, of the person that just bring money to the house, and you have never worked, you have been taking care of your kids, and then you don't know, okay, if I leave, what I am gonna do? Like, where I am gonna find the money? Who is gonna hire me? I think that that's some of the factors, right? Like, and lots of emotional ties and shame. It makes incredible hard for people to, come forward, and then systemic barriers of like maybe they try before and they were not welcome in a supportive way. Maybe they have shared this with a friend or even an institution or an organization, community organization, and they didn't get the support that they were seeking. So yes, I think that those are kind of like the main hesitations.
Yeah, I think as well with you saying housing, I know how the housing's been a big talking point in Vancouver of the housing crisis. But with immigration as well, if you're coming over here on your own and you only know that person, and then if you try and leave, it's sort of, well, I'm on my own. Excellent. Where am I going to do? Like, where am I going to go? Who am I going to talk to? Who can help me? It's very hard. Like, speaking as someone that's, my family's back in the United Kingdom, I'm fortunate enough to have made friends, but when I first came over here, I didn't know anybody.
You didn't have a network.
Yeah, so it's sort of like I can't really reach out with an 8-hour time difference to people back home as easily. So focusing more, obviously, you are a part of the SVSPO here at SFU. What more do you think can be done to prevent intimate partner violence, specifically at the post-secondary level?
Yeah, so I think that we continue investing in education about healthy relationships, offering like offices. I feel that offering offices like us, where students and staff and folks can come and seek for support, where there is a kind of like a clear reporting process in place if that is what they wanted to do. Also, I think it's really important that this is not a particular issue of folks who are only experiencing intimate partner violence. This is a societal issue. This is all of us in our community. We need to learn about this. Because if a friend, if a colleague, if a peer comes and share with you this is happening, we need to be preparing how to respond to a disclosure, how to respond, how to be supportive, how to be compassionate, how to believe the other person. I'm here for you. We're going to navigate this together, or I am going to share some resources with you. This is what is available, right? But because when we were talking about the barriers, okay, yes, it's very difficult, but if we go out there and we share and then we are not received in a welcoming manner, we will continue in situations like this. So I feel that those are some of the, and then also ensure that all of us who offer this type of supports for like that work in this type of offices learn more about, are more culturally informed and culturally aware of the different, you know, communities that we have around, that we ensure that we offer kind of like diverse and trauma-informed supports that are available for people in our campuses. Yes, and then I also wanted to say that, you know, education is critical. And thus, I feel that it's kind of like an early intervention. I'm not saying that's the only thing, because my goodness, this issue is like an onion, right? Like you have to peel layers and layers and layers, and you have to address different things at different times. But, you know, when I think of like having conversations with young people about consent, what is intimacy, what feels pleasurable to you, what does not feel pleasurable, about respect, about like how can I share my needs with people, right? Like how can I share, you know, what is important for me, that we, rather than you text me, we talk over the phone, or like minimum things like that. So more, how can I say, people-based programs, because I don't want it to that an office only comes and let me teach you how to be in healthy relationships. We all know, but we have maybe not sit and have this conversation. Or maybe if the ones don't know, just by sitting and having a conversation with others, then we learn. We learn from others, right? So I think cultural relevant education, I think, is really important, and that has been a journey for me, because I cannot, at first I thought everything, like for every community is the same, but it's not the same, that this type of sharing and teaching. So also learning, like maybe with certain communities I cannot start talking right away about sex positivity, because maybe there is a lot of stigma and a lot of taboo around that. But maybe we can start talking about like communities of care